Support for The Exchange podcast comes from you, our listeners, and from McLean Middleton, New Hampshire's largest law firm. For over 100 years, they've been committed to their clients, community, and colleagues. Locations in Manchester, Portsmouth, and Concord, New Hampshire, and Woburn and Boston, Massachusetts. Learn more at McLean.com.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. With Thanksgiving as late as it could be on the calendar this year and Hanukkah and Christmas overlapping, suddenly it's the gift-giving season, and many of us, myself included, are way behind schedule. And so it's great timing for our show today, the 2019 Holiday Book Show. Whether you plan to give books this season or pick one up for yourself, the year had plenty to offer. Today in The Exchange, we'll get the favorites of two New Hampshire booksellers, and let's hear from you. You can call 1-800-892-6477 with your favorites or your questions, or you can send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Use Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. All the books mentioned during this hour, including our guests' picks and the titles that you add to our conversation, will be put on our website a little bit later today. It's a great resource for you. You can find it at nhpr.org/exchange. Once again, nhpr.org/exchange. Our guests are Dan Chartrand, owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter. Dan, welcome back. Great to see you.
Thank you so much, Laura. Great to be here.
And also with us, Michael Herman, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord. And Michael, a big welcome back. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura.
So, Michael, how is this compressed holiday season affecting you this year? I have barely wrapped my head around the fact that Thanksgiving was a week ago.
I know. Yeah, it's a very short season. I mean, I tell myself, you know, there's 24 shopping days in December, and that's the season, no matter how the calendar works. But because Thanksgiving was so late this year, I think the real issue is any severe weather event looms larger because of the compressed season. So we've had some snow lately, so the season has gotten off to a slow start. But we look forward to clear skies and happy days ahead.
You know, I never thought about that. We're going to be talking to members of the New Hampshire ski industry next week, and I'm sure they'll be talking about the weather, but I didn't think about how the weather affects you, Michael.
Physical retail is very weather dependent, yeah. Sure.
Wow.
Is. Yeah.
How about you, Dan? How are you experiencing this extremely short holiday season?
Well, it's what Michael said, but honestly, I worry about things I can control, and I don't control
that's
the
a
calendar
good philosophy
and
for
I don't
life.
Control the weather. So we're ready. We're keyed up. We're ready for our patrons to stop in and let us help them find great gifts for all the people on their list.
Well, looking back at 2019, Dan, I'll go to you first. What kind of books seem to stand out? I mean, we talk every year. Some years you guys say, oh, it was a great year for, you know, big fat biographies. Or some years you say this was the year of the juicy cookbook. What do you think, Dan? Has this been a fantastic year for any one type of genre?
This has been a great year for independent booksellers because there's been this huge spread of titles. No one actual title that you had to have, similar to Michelle Obama's memoir last year. That was the book of the year, far and away. This is one of those years where it's all spread out and lots of great fiction, lots of great nonfiction, and no one saying, oh, this is the book I have to have. So we get to really step in and figure out what they're looking for, what they've enjoyed in the past, and then recommend based on that. And I love those years.
Yeah, when it's almost not more one fun book. For you, isn't it?
It is. Either way is great, but this is more of a challenge, and I love a challenge.
Yeah. How about you, Michael?
Yeah, I mean, this year there's a lot of great fiction that's been published, but the folks who merchandise our front of store, I mean, for the last 6 months, they've been saying, what is it with this profusion, this incredible onslaught of nonfiction, you know, in all different categories? The publisher industry seems to have really brought out a lot of great nonfiction. And, you know, of course, that's a positive thing. You know, it's, you know, if you're having to merchandise the front of the store and figure out where everything should go, you know, that it becomes an occasion to grumble just a little bit, but it's a happy grumbling, right? You know.
Well, and that's interesting that you said, you know, merchandise the front of the store. So what does that mean exactly?
Well, what that means is new titles come out every week, usually on Tuesday, and And we have to make sure that not only that we display them so people who are looking for them can find them, you know, quickly and easily, but also that people who just come into the store can see them right away. And we also want to give respect to titles that came out in previous weeks. So we try to keep them in the front of store as long as possible, too. So it's a constant juggling act.
You know what I always wondered, Dan, I'll start with you, how you guys pick what you're going to sell. Now, obviously, if I came into your store and I said, I'd like such and such, and you didn't have it, you would say, I can order that for you, Laura. But how do you decide what to put on those shelves and what not to put on those shelves? That must be a really hard decision.
Well, first of all, we are on the side of representing many titles as opposed to just a few titles.
Sure.
That's our job within the physical limitations of our space and the dollars of our budget, our book buying budget.
Do you have a book buying budget?
We have a...
Yeah, okay.
we have some barriers that I ask the staff not to go beyond.
You know it when you
see
it.
But
right?
They're
yeah,
very
okay.
loose. But beyond that, obviously, I mean, I've been in the book business since 1981, and I've been buying books since 1991, worked in publishing, you know, worked in other bookstores. So I've got a lot of experience, but I actually don't do most of the buying anymore. My staff... that's really, there's a couple people on my staff that do a lot of the buying now, and they're better than I ever was. We also have this great tool called Edelweiss, which is a pooled information source from all the independent bookstores across the country. And it's blind, so no one knows exactly what anyone else is doing. But there's a lot of trends that you can gather from this this resource. It's a great resource.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's a real breakthrough. So it's kind of that crowd sharing of information.
Sure.
That allows us to really do a great job.
How about you, Michael?
Well, we're also, you know, we're part of a huge, beautiful ecosystem of booksellers, publishers reps, and I guess, for lack of a better word, influencers. I mean, we all talk to each other. We share information. You know, we're not really, I mean, should I say this on the air? We're not really competing with each other. We're not, you know.
I always say that Michael's my bookselling brother from another mother.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, exactly. Yeah,
so you're talking to each other. You're talking to people in the industry. Are you using any of the sort of crowdsourcing tools that Dan's talking about?
Oh, we all do. Yeah, it's a very powerful tool. Absolutely. Yep. And social media also works for this. People communicate their excitement in a lot of different ways these days.
Well, and I want to reference another tool that folks can use, too. It's NPR's Book Concierge. I was just looking at it this morning. You can go there. You can click on what sort of books you tend to like. And then there's a whole panoply of books that come before you. And, of course, you know, the jacket is there so you can recognize it. You click. There's a little description. So that's another great tool. Not as good as a human bookseller, obviously, but go ahead, Dan.
I'm looking forward to getting my hands on the list that your staff has put together of all the authors that have appeared on the Exchange over the past year.
And all the titles mentioned this hour will be on our website a little bit later today. It takes us a while to curate it, but we will get it up a little bit later today. Again, that's nhpr.org/exchange. You can contribute your favorites from 2019 right now with a phone call, 1-800-892-6477, or an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Once again, exchange@nhpr.org. Use Facebook or Twitter. It's NHPR Exchange. So if you guys had to pick two 2019 books as favorites among customers or among your staff, Dan, I'll go to you first. Just pick two. We're going to talk books all hour, but for now, just pick two. One fiction, one nonfiction. What's the favorite?
Well, our all-time favorite this year is our local author Joe Hill's book of short stories, Full Throttle. So that is the book of the year for Water Street Bookstore. It includes a short story that he co-wrote with his father, Stephen King. And this is Joe kind of really coming out.
Hang on, that's interesting.
Yeah, he's coming out to the fact that, yes, Stephen King is my father. He's always kind of underplayed that, and now he's stopped doing that. And they've included a story that they wrote together in this volume. So Joe's kind of, he's a very important guy to us. We do a lot of, we handle a lot of his signed book shipping across the country and across the world. It's a very nice piece of business for us. And Joe is really one of our Uber patrons. So that's a very important book. And then on the nonfiction side, something that just released is Bill Bryson's The Body, which is the latest volume of Bill Bryson's insights into a very big topic handled in his typical kind of humorous and very, you know, very sophisticated way.
Yeah, I remember the first time I read Bill Bryson. I was on an airplane, and I was that person that you sit next to, and the person is reading and laughing out loud, and it's a little bit embarrassing, but he's so funny. So that's go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, let me just talk a little bit about Bill Bryson. I don't know quite how he does it. you know, he's written so many books, and they're just so full of, like, information, but just presented in such an entertaining, methodical, wonderful way, just funny and insightful. Yeah, he wrote a book called A Brief History of Nearly Everything, and I said, with that title, this book cannot work. And it did. And, you know, he's written about, you know, different rooms of the house, and the body is the same kind of format. His new book, you know, just discusses everything about the human body. And you think, he can't discuss everything about the human body, but he does. So we expect that to be a great book for Christmas.
And what's interesting about his work isn't the subject, it's the way he tells the story of the subject. It's him that people are buying when they're buying these
books. Yeah, it's funny. You can see what he's doing, but you can't replicate it.
You know, or predict it.
Yeah.
So that's nonfiction, humor. How about fiction, Michael? If you had to pick just one that seems to be a big favorite among customers or staff.
Well, I would be remiss if actually my staff would never speak to me again if I didn't mention Aaron Morgenstern's The Starless Sea, which is a huge staff favorite. You know, it's a story. It's fantasy. It's a story about the importance of stories. It's set in a secret underground world, a place with there's pirates, painters, ships that sail on a starless sea. It's a fantasy about fantasy, and that sounds a little meta, but you know, some of our booksellers are so enthusiastic and just evangelical for this title. It's amazing. It's amazing to me. So that's probably the most important book that's in our store right now.
And this is the author of the all-time indie bookstore favorite, The Night Circus.
Yeah. Okay, I remember talking about that.
This is her first
you.
Book since then.
Okay,
right. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit more about fiction then. And some people have their favorite authors. They cheer when they come out with yet another book. We'll talk about sort of new breakout fiction authors in a moment. But who among the sort of just tried and true favorites, Michael, who have new books this year?
Well, I have to talk about Elizabeth Strout. People remember Olive Kittredge. It came out a little over 10 years ago. And she's almost against her will. She has revisited this character and told the ongoing adventures of Olive Kittredge. It's a book called Olive Again. And it's I think it's even better than the original.
Wow.
It's an amazing set of stories. Olive is like the main character in some of them. She's just more like on the sidelines in some of the others. But Elizabeth Strout just constructs this complete world. And, you know, the best novelists are great psychologists. And what Elizabeth Strout does is she really gets into the mind of this character. And you get to live as Olive Kittredge, as this cantankerous old woman that nobody understands and who doesn't really understand herself. But the stories are amazing. I love this book.
That's a great phrase that you just gave us there. The best novelists are also psychologists. They get you into that person's head.
That's in the long history of fiction. Yeah, that's always been true from Flaubert through Elizabeth Strout. Yeah.
Dickens, Tolstoy. Dickens.
How about you,
absolutely.
Michael?
The other tried and true author that has a new book coming out, and she is an independent bookseller as well. She co-owns Parnassus Books in Nashville, Tennessee, is Ann Patchett, and she has a new novel out called The Dutch House. And The Dutch House is set in an architecturally prominent home in Philadelphia. And Steph is recommending this, our store manager and buyer. And here's what she wrote. I won't spoil any of the plot twists, but what I can tell you is that this novel is about the love and loyalty in found family and true family, about the one-second choices we make that just change everything, and the choices we make by just living our lives. It's about forgiveness and not forgiveness when a grudge is made of pure love for someone else. It's about people's ability to change over a long life and forgiveness again in the end.
Wow. And Ann Patchett, by the way, was on Writers on New England Stage with our colleague Peter Biello. So if you missed that, you can download the Exchange podcast. That's simple and easy. We've got a guide on our website if you're not up on podcasting. So, yeah.
Yeah, that actually was here in Concord.
It was here in Concord. I apologize, Michael.
Event. Yeah.
I do apologize.
That's okay. It's all we're not competitors. We're all just just pushing the great world of literature. But anyway, The Dutch House is a great novel, and one beautiful thing about Ann Patchett's writing is how she drives both the plot and our understanding of the psychology of the characters by just creating these scenes of shared moments between the characters. It's a great knack that she has. It's beautiful writing.
So we talked earlier about nonfiction, and I want to ask both of you, maybe you first, Michael, about an author who I know is a nonfiction author, but then I heard that he has a great new novel out, Ta-Nehisi Coates, very well known for his first work about what it was like to be a black man in this culture, and now he's got fiction out.
I know, and I wanted to talk about it today, but I didn't get a chance to read it. So
that's okay. You're really busy, and you've got a stack of books in front of you.
It's on my bedside table.
Okay.
It has been for 3 months, unfortunately. I just haven't gotten to it.
That book has been selling so well in all independent bookstores, and he has a huge following from his nonfiction work. He wrote a memoir, and then he wrote a book called Between the World and Me,
which is just a
seminal book.
And
then he wrote this wonderful book that basically took all the Atlantic Monthly articles that he wrote across the years of the Obama administration, and he recast them into this like seamless narrative of those 8 years. It was called We Were Eight Years in Power. So those are the three previous books, and now he's written a novel, which is just people can't get enough of his work. It's doing really well. Thank you for mentioning that.
Well, again, you can call us with your favorite books of 2019 or send us an email. Our email address is exchange@nhpr.org. Our phone number, 1-800-892-6477. Use Facebook or Twitter. It's NHPR Exchange. Once again, our email, exchange@nhpr.org. I always love talking to you guys about new fiction writers. You know, the old favorites, we all love them. But who's sort of new on the scene of fiction for you, Dan?
Well, an author that we've sold in sort of a small way is an author that Mark DeCarter at one of our booksellers discovered. And his new novel, The Topeka School, the author is Ben Lerner. And Mark writes these very jazzy, poetic staff recommends. So I'm just going to give you a little bit of Mark DeCarter it here. The Topeka School is more layered and thematically alloyed, less self-employed, toyed with than his earlier efforts. Ben Lerner is he's an author that's just breaking out. That's Mark. And he's amazing. He has a huge following in our store. But this book, it was named one of the 10 best by the New York Times just a couple
of
weeks ago.
Wow, for a new author. That's pretty good.
This is his third novel, but still.
Yeah.
He's been growing in critical acceptance, but hasn't found the larger audience. And now this book has broken out onto the indie bookseller bestseller list. So it's been fun to take Mark's passion that has been fairly narrow and bring it to a broader audience with the help of some of the critics' recognition.
How about you, Michael? Who are some of the new novelists that you're excited about?
Well, Ocean Vuong, On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous. It's a debut novel. He's been a published poet for many years. This is his first novel, and it's a beautiful story. A young man named Little Dog basically writes a letter to his mother who can't read, investigating their family history. It starts in Vietnam. It addresses issues of race, class, masculinity. It's hard to describe. It's an experimental poetic novel, but it's not off-putting. It's not a difficult read in that sense. So it's a very beautiful novel.
All right. Coming up, more of our guests' favorites, and you can join us as well with either your favorite book from 2019 or if you need some recommendations for your holiday shopping, we have plenty of ideas. You can join us with a phone call at 1-800-892-6477 or send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. More of our holiday book show in just a moment. This is The Exchange on New Hampshire Public Radio.
Support for the Exchange podcast from NHPR comes from you, our subscribers, and from
Edvest in You, a local New Hampshire nonprofit providing college student loans and student refinancing options. Information online at nhstudentloans.org or by calling 1-855-887-5430.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today, it's our annual holiday book show and looking back at the favorite books of 2019. Let us know what books made your list this year. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. Send email to exchange@nhpr.org. Use Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. And all the titles that come up today, as well as Michael and Dan's book lists, will be on our website a little bit later, nhpr.org/exchange. So, gentlemen, let's go right to our listeners. And Gail in Londonderry emails, for a good read about an obscure piece of women's history, I recommend The Five by Hallie Rubenhold, purchased at Gibson's, Gail says. It's about the women killed by Jack the Ripper in Victorian London. The author did a great job researching their lives. Most were working class women who fell on hard times and not prostitutes, which is the commonly held myth. Her writing makes them into real people and not just props in a grisly murder mystery. It's well written, reads like a novel, but tells a true tale of women whose stories have been hidden for over 100 years. Gail, thank you so much. And Michael, do you want to comment a little bit more on that book?
You know, I haven't had a chance to read it, but I sure thank the caller for buying it at Gibson's.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Well, and I appreciate what the author is trying to do, you know, not just use these people as props in this terrible story, but, you know, make them into real life.
I think that's a real trend now, and it's a welcome trend and overdue is to rethink all the stereotypes that we've learned from, you know, from the history we were taught and just rethink them with empathy and a new understanding.
Well, and both of you said that this has been a great year for all sorts of books. Michael, you mentioned nonfiction especially. We'll get to nonfiction, but I did want to give you the opportunity, Dan, to talk about a couple other fiction titles that are flying off your shelves.
Well, there's a couple books that are doing very well for us. One is called The 10,000 Doors of January. It's by Alex E. Harrow. It's a new author to us. It's been published by Red Hook, which does a lot of science fiction and fantasy. And Cynthia, who read this, just wrote a very brief recommendation for this. It's a powerful read. There are doors, adventures throughout it all. The amazing life of January, the character is named January, unfolds. She absolutely loved this book, and she's just said at the end, "You just never know how life will come around."
So this is one of those. I love the title.
Yeah, this is one of those great books about sort of discovering a character and their arc. And Cynthia has been recommending that. And then the other book, this was also chosen by the New York Times as one of their top 10. It's a book called Disappearing Earth by Julia Phillips. It has a tough subject. It's set in the Kamchatka Peninsula of Russia, the far east of Russia. And it's about two young sisters that are kidnapped. But there's just a great story that's told in it. Steph, who recommends this, by the end of the novel, the characters have linked together, creating a web that tries to explain what happened to the girls. It's really incredible. Excellent writing and fully developed characters with the plotting of a thriller. And she just recommends that so highly.
Well, and that's interesting because that's a part of the world that really doesn't get much attention from American novelists, for sure. Go ahead, Michael. You want to put one or two more fiction titles
Absolutely.
On the table there?
Sure, yeah. Nothing to See Here by Kevin Wilson. He wrote The Family Fang like 8 or 9 years ago. And this book has a bizarre premise. You know, there's a couple of children. A woman becomes a governess for the children of her college roommate, and there's a long story of estrangement there. But the thing about the children is sometimes they just burst into flames for no reason, and their clothes burn off, but their hair is unsinged, and their bodies are unharmed, and you just occasionally throw them in a swimming pool to put them out. And it's a novel about it's really about the emotions involved with caring for children, I think. And it's very wittily written. If you remember The Family Fang, it's like if Salinger's hip Brooklyn nephew had written, you know, The Continuing Adventures of the Glass Family or something. You know, it's a very popular book at our store right now. Another one that's kind of popular, and I'm pushing so it becomes more popular, is Kevin Barry's Night Boat to Tangier. And this is it's the story of a couple of old, aging drug dealers who are just sitting in a station waiting for one of their daughters to arrive. And over the course of the book, they tell the story of their lives, all the disreputable deeds they did. And it's an Irish novel. It's got that Irish gift of gab. It's dark and extremely funny. It's not like the Ireland of Tana French. It's more like the Ireland of Flann O'Brien, and going all the way back to Joyce and Beckett. But if Joyce and Beckett wrote about crime and drugs.
Wow, that is really interesting.
And drunkenness. Yes, it's. I love this book. I thought it was great.
All right, let's go back to our listeners. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Sorry, Dan, go ahead.
No, I was just going to add that that book was also chosen by the New York Times as one of their top 10.
So. Great.
But that's right, yeah.
All right, so to the callers, also you can send us an email with your favorites for 2019. Or if you are jumping into holiday shopping and need some recommendations, we, of course, have that as well, too. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can use Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. And Deborah's calling in from Nashua. Hi, Deborah. You're on the air. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Laura. Thank you. I really don't tend to read fiction because it tends to be predictable and kind of sickly. But I really enjoyed a book called Things You Save in a Fire by Catherine Center. And it's about a woman paramedic firefighter. And she's estranged from her mother. And there are a lot of firefighting aspects to it because her husband, she thanks in the introduction for his guidance.
Oh, so, see. Okay.
As far as fiction that's not predictable and sappy and laced with expletives and dull, I was very excited to enjoy the audiobook of Catherine Center's Things You Save in a Fire.
Well, Deborah, thank you for the recommendation. I really appreciate it. And I had not heard of that book, so that's interesting. And Suzanne in Concord is up next. Hi, Suzanne. You're on the air. Thank you for being with us today.
You're welcome. Good morning. I really love John Wellwood. His book, Love and Awakening, you were talking about psychology, and his psychology is just wonderful of relationships. One of the recommendations on the back of this book is from John Gray, author of Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus. And he says, original, honest, and profound, this book offers a powerful new message for love and intimacy in the 90s and beyond. Read it, and your relationships will never be the same again.
So, Suzanne, this is nonfiction then?
Not really. It's really a psychological treatise on relationships.
Okay. Wow. Thank you very much for calling in. And again, if you are driving down the road and you didn't catch either of those titles, never fear. All the books that are mentioned today will be on our web post as soon as we can get it there. It's nhpr.org/exchange. Here's an email from Katie, who recommends Michael Cameron Ward's The Colored Folks Ain't Gonna Make It. Katie says, many of these stories shocked me since I grew up in Durham and had no idea. Katie says, it's beautifully written that I think other New Hampshire readers might also enjoy. Katie, thank you for writing in. And Durham, so that's your neck of the woods, Michael.
That's Dan.
Dan.
I answer to anything. Michael Cameron Ward is a very important local author for Water Street Bookstore. His father actually owned a diner right in downtown Exeter many decades ago. And his first book was actually stories about his father operating a business as an African-American man in this basically all-white town. He's written a second volume of sort of more memoir stories about his life in and around Lee. And they sell very well. He has a very extensive following locally. And I appreciate the listener mentioning his books.
Let's talk about other New Hampshire authors while we're here. And Katie, again, thank you for writing in. Michael, who are you selling among that wonderful list of New Hampshire authors? We seem to grow a lot in this state. Poets and novelists and so forth.
Well, there's a new book by Rebecca Rule, or as we know her, Becky Rule. It's a book called That Reminds Me of a Funny Story. It's just out from Hobblebush Books this fall, and its subtitle is A Memoir, How-To, and Compendium of Yankee Humor. And if you've ever seen Becky Rule perform, you know you're in for a treat when you read the book because her voice really comes through the prose.
How about you?
Well, we have a monthly open mic poetry reading, and we always feature a poet at the beginning. It always happens on the second Wednesday of each month at 6:30 in the evening. Mark DeCarteret, who is the former poet laureate of Portsmouth, is one of our booksellers. He was also a finalist for the State Poet Laureate. He's a very important poet in the state. And he hosts these poets. And recently, we've had New Hampshire poets Tammy Truax, Mimi White, Marie Harris, Jennifer Militello. And then we've also had from the wider New England region, Betsy Scholl and Jason Tandon. So very active poetry scene in northern New England and specifically in New Hampshire. And we do our best, as does Michael's shop, to support that scene.
Yeah, we have monthly readings with the Poetry Society of New Hampshire. And I just wanted, while we're on poetry, two books that we should probably talk about today. One is by the new Poet Laureate of New Hampshire, Alexandria Peary, called The Water Draft. And it's a collection of poems that just came out this year, and it's a great introduction to our new Poet Laureate. And the other one I want to talk about is a book called Deaf Republic by Ilya Kaminsky. You mentioned Jennifer Militello. She organizes the poetry festival at New England College in the fall, and she's brought some great guests to the state. One of them was Ilya Kaminsky. And this book, Ilya Kaminsky himself is almost completely deaf, and his book is about an entire country that pretends to be deaf to protest oppression and violence against their people. And it's a
wow.
He had the entire audience in tears reading from this book, you know, like a group of 200 battle scarred poets, you know, crying at somebody else's work. It was an amazing reading. I recommend this book very highly.
Well, sometimes I like to read a really engaging novel, but sometimes I like to read a memoir or short stories where I just have to read a little bit before I go to sleep. And
sure.
One New Hampshire author who I read this year is Gail Schilling. It's a memoir, a slim little book that you can kind of dip in and dip out of. It's called Do Not Go Gentle, Go to Paris, Travels of an Uncertain Woman of a Certain Age. I'm just going to read a little bit of the description here. Rattled by fears that she is losing her keys, her looks, her job, and her sweetheart, Gail, 62, rashly announces that she will go to Paris, a dream postponed for 40 years. Because as you learn in the book, you know, she basically had to spend many years raising four children pretty much by herself. Finally, she's freed of, you know, the kids are all grown up, but she loses her job. And so it's more than just, I went here, I went here, I went here. It's a really very reflective. So I enjoyed that, again, because, well, it's a local author. It's a lovely memoir. But also you can dip in and dip out. You don't have to stay up until 2 a.m. reading, which is what happens when I read novels.
That is an occupational hazard.
Yeah, I understand.
That is my new favorite book title.
Do Not Go Gentle, Go to Paris, Travels of an Uncertain Woman of a Certain Age. So other New Hampshire authors that you guys want to highlight? I know that's a big plus for independent booksellers. Michael?
Yeah, Randy Pierce has written a book called See You at the Summit. And his story is fascinating. He just got out of college. He was 22 years old, and all of a sudden, a neurological disorder made him blind. And his story of coming back from that sudden issue. Now he runs marathons. He climbs mountains, and his memoir is very, very effective.
Yes, I did hear about that. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, local author. Yeah.
Well, and we have tons of local authors on the exchange, and again, takes us a while to put this whole list together and curate everything, but we will put up the list of authors that we've had on the exchange, and many of them are local. We've done a lot of books this year on enjoying New Hampshire's great outdoors, hiking, and so forth, as well as local history and so on. So that'll be on the website as well. Any other local authors you want to highlight, Dan Chartrand?
Just last night we hosted one of our favorite local authors, Alex Myers, who's written a new novel called Continental Divide, about a young transgender man who is going west, tired of the East Coast, and goes to Wyoming. And Alex gave an amazing reading, answered incredibly detailed questions about his work as a transgender advocate. Alex also serves as a faculty member at the Phillips Exeter Academy. So really important person in our community and beyond.
Phillips Exeter is where Dan Brown used to teach. Is that correct?
He was a he went to school there.
Okay.
And I think he has taught classes there
as
well.
So that's been
his father was on the math faculty at Phillips Exeter.
Okay.
Dick Brown.
Go ahead, Michael.
Well, I was just going to say, if we're talking about local talent, we still have to talk about Ken Burns as local, even though he's nationally known.
Right.
He's got a new volume of it's a new volume called Country Music that accompanies the series on TV. It's an encyclopedic compendium of the history of country music. It only goes up to like 1996, so you're seeing these impossibly young pictures of Steve Earle and Rodney Crowell. But yeah, it's a great gift for anybody who likes music.
Well, we've got some more ideas from our listeners. Again, you can send us your favorites of 2019 or your questions about what books you might want to pick up for someone on your list, including yourself. Our phone number, 1-800-892-6477. The email is exchange@nhpr.org. And Nancy in Deerfield would like some recommendations. She says, my older teen daughters used to love reading until they got burnt out on Brit Lit and AP English. I'm looking for fun reads for them for Christmas. Nancy, great question. And who wants to take that first, guys?
Dan does.
Teenage reads. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like they're beyond the teenage reads. So I'm going to recommend a nonfiction book that I love. It's called Running with Sherman.
No, you can't go wrong.
The Donkey with the Heart of a Hero. It's by Christopher McDougall, who wrote the best-selling book Born to Run about sort of the human species penchant for running long distances. He's written this great new personal memoir about taking this donkey who'd been terribly abused and training with it within his community to get this donkey ready to run in Colorado in a donkey-human race. And it
sounds having a hard time.
Absurd.
What's the matter, Laura? Are you having a hard time with that?
It's such a great book. I just couldn't stop laughing. I love this book. It would be great for your daughters who are burned out on AP Lit.
Yeah, that's
it's
interesting.
It's just a refresher.
Yeah, animals might be the way back in. Something like Following Atticus or, you know, cute shaggy dog stories, things like that.
Right.
Because
people, you know, books about horses are quite common. There's that human bond. People love their horses. I've never heard of a book about
running with donkeys.
A donkey. How about you?
Running with Sherman.
I'd love your thoughts
too,
Michael.
I would say to come into the store and talk to one of our booksellers at greater length. You know, because that's what's we're going to say. What did they enjoy while they were getting burnt out on AP Lit? Was there anything that they really liked? Maybe we could find the modern equivalent of that.
Or what did they enjoy before that?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a conversation. It's not just there's no ready-made answer for that question. It just evolves over the course of a conversation.
Independent booksellers have this amazing ability to take two titles that you give them that you love and then give you a whole world of reading beyond that. Basically, we triangulate.
Well, and I'm guessing that you guys hear the struggle that Nancy writes about, that, my kid used to love reading, and then he or she became a teenager, and, it was all done. I've had that struggle myself.
There's a lot of competition for people's attention now. There's a lot of interesting content that's not reading out there. There's Netflix, there's podcasts, there's all kinds of things competing for the time of a person who is intellectually engaged. And we all see it as a problem, so we just want to make sure people understand just how great the books are now.
Okay. Thank you very much for the question, Nancy. You can send us an email as well, exchange@nhpr.org. Once again, exchange@nhpr.org. Use Facebook or Twitter. It's NHPR Exchange. Or give us a call. Tell us what your favorite book of 2019 was. Or if you're like Nancy and need some help with holiday shopping, we can help you out with that too. Again, our number, 1-800-892-6477. More in a moment.
What makes New Hampshire, New Hampshire? Is it the people?
We never used to have a snow day. Never. No. It had to be really bad.
Or is it the landscape?
All right, so we'll climb out and we'll go for a hike. The Pemigewasset Wilderness Area at Lincoln
Perhaps
Woods.
It's a little of both. I'm Sam Evans-Brown, and this holiday season, consider supporting the station that connects you to the people and places unique to New Hampshire with a tax-deductible year-end gift to NHPR. Give now at nhpr.org.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on our show, we sit down with Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg. That's tomorrow morning, live at 9. Today, it's our annual holiday book show and what titles are topping many lists as the best books of the year. Tell us your favorites or whether you need some help picking something out for someone else or yourself. Our number is 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Use Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. All the titles that come up in our conversation, as well as our booksellers lists, will be on our website a little bit later today. Check it out at nhpr.org/exchange. We're talking with Michael Herman, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, and Dan Chartrand, owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter. And Michael, at the beginning of the show, you said this has been a great year for nonfiction. So let's talk about that a little bit more.
It really has. I guess let's start with memoir. She was formerly known as Emily Doe. Then her name came out as Chanel Miller, and her book is called Know My Name. And this is a debut memoir. She's introducing herself. It's a Me Too moment. This is the young woman who was assaulted by Brock Turner, it started with her victim statement when he was sentenced, and it evolved into this beautiful memoir called Know My Name. It's an essential document of the Me Too movement.
Wow.
And just related to that, let me just talk for a second about Ronan Farrow's book Catch and Kill. This is a book about reporting the Me Too movement. It's not about the Me Too movement itself. It's more like a journalistic thriller. And actually, I was expecting it to be – it's about the pursuit of Harvey Weinstein and other other predators, and it's a story about telling the story, but it involves espionage. It's a spy thriller. It's a crime story. It's an amazing, exciting read about a journalist going after a story, and so it's about the Me Too movement, but it's also a thrilling story about a hero journalist, and I think that's important right now.
Very interesting. Yeah. Go ahead, Dan.
I'm going to recommend a couple of books that are great gifts for your grandfather, father, uncle who loves to read history. One is Edmund Morris's latest work, Edison. Edmund Morris was the prize-winning author of the Theodore Roosevelt trilogy that has garnered so much positive notice. This is his great new, very complete biography of Thomas Edison. And I can't recommend that highly enough to folks that like history. The other history book I put in my nonfiction list is this great book published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt called The Winter Army, The World War II Odyssey of the 10th Mountain Division, America's Elite Alpine Warriors. It's by Maurice Isserman, who's written extensively about the ski industry in this country. But now he's taken on a work of history, and I was fascinated by this. A lot of the people that were in this mountain division were kind of like Ivy League, Dartmouth University, outdoor club types. They took a lot of those people and a lot of those men and put them in this fledgling division that then went up against the hardened troops of the Germans in the mountains in Italy. So it's a great story.
Yeah, I had a neighbor actually when I was growing up in Keene who was in that 10th Mountain Division. I remember learning about that and going, wait, you skied and you shot at people at the same time?
It's not completely a New England story, but it has a lot of New England strands
sure.
to it.
Skiing and shooting, it's a multitasking story.
Right, sounds like that. I think there's an Olympic sport around that. So. Couple emails from our listeners that I want to share with you guys. Stephen Londonderry says, my favorite book this year is Night Train to Lisbon by Pascal Mercier. It is not a new book, Steve says, but it was new to me. It deals with a teacher of classical languages who one day walks out of his classroom and heads to Portugal in search of the author of a book that has captivated him. Wow, Steve, that sounds great. On the nonfiction side, Patricia recommends Preserving Old Barns by John Porter. Now, by the way, we had him on a show we did about old barns in the fall of 2018. Patricia says the second edition is double the size and has information on the history, variety, and care of mostly New Hampshire barns, beautifully illustrated. By the way, that show we did on New Hampshire barns, the phones just exploded. People love talking about this kind of content.
Yeah, he did a program at Gibson's, and if it's possible to be exciting on the subject of barns, John Porter's exciting on the subject of barns. Yeah, he does a great talk you know, in the book is very interesting.
Well, I'm glad that this person raised that, because that was a really popular hour that we did. Sarah in Concord wants some suggestions for her holiday shopping. Sarah says, my 13-year-old son has been very into World War II books lately, reading a number of them by Alan Gratz, and most recently, The Boy in the Striped Pajamas. Any suggestions for an avid reader and where he should go to reach out from this genre? Sarah, thank you very much. And gentlemen, anybody want to help her out with her 13-year-old boy?
There's an edition of Boys in the Boat for younger readers.
Okay. That's about the crew team that went to the Olympics in 1936, in Berlin.
Yeah, I've read that. A good story. That's a good World War II story.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Dan?
That's good.
Okay. Well, and I know both of you have booksellers who specialize in young adults. In fact, Michael, I've used yours, so
full disclosure.
So, you know, you can go into the local bookstore and ask the person who deals especially with that group.
Yeah, so. We think it's important to have specialists on staff, but also everybody has to be kind of a universalist, because you never know who's going to ask who what question. So we all have to know a little bit about a lot.
Let's talk a little bit more about history or biography. Both of you have mentioned those in the nonfiction category. Michael, any other biographies that you think are important for people to know about, or history books?
Well, one that combines both history and memoir, and it's actually the best meditation on history that I've encountered in many years. It's called Learning from the Germans by a woman named Susan Neiman. And I came upon – I was just reading the New York Review of Books over lunch, as one does. And I came across a review of this book that I hadn't heard of yet. But she's from the South, and she spent many years in Germany as an academic, and then she came back. And she's writing about let me put it this way. If you've read Hitler's Willing Executioners or Confederates in the Attic or Mitch Landrieu's In the Shadow of Statues, this is a deeper dive into what it means confronting the history of the Civil War in this country, the way the Germans confronted their history and are continuing to confront it, and the way the South Africans did. We've never done that in this country, and it's creating a lot of the problems that we have in this country today. It's about the true nature of racism and nationalism and the culture of defeat, the lost cause kind of terminology from the South. It's a memoir at the same time, because she inserts herself in the narrative. It's not just a work of history. This is her going to interview Bryan Stevenson. This is her going to interview James Meredith. You know, it's a fascinating book, it's entertaining and enlightening at the same time.
That's interesting. So learning from the Germans implies that that society after World War II had an open airing, a big discussion, reckoning, still ongoing.
It's gone on for like 70 years.
But reparations and so forth.
And generations fighting with other generations, you know, for who controls what history means.
Wow.
And it's ongoing conversation today after 70 years.
So this author is applying that to America and saying, hey, America, you could take
it's
this
time,
same
it's time for
reckoning
us to
process.
Really talk honestly about our history.
About the Civil War.
Yeah.
Wow.
Truth and reconciliation.
And the civil rights movement. Yeah, exactly.
Others in this category that our listeners seem to love, history, biography, nonfiction.
Two. I have two that are very different. Karen Armstrong is a former Catholic nun who has become an amazing writer and scholar about all things sacred. Her latest book, which I did not read until I heard her interview with Christiane Amanpour on public television. Her latest book is The Lost Art of Scripture, Rescuing the Sacred Texts. And it's not just the Bible she's trying to rescue. She's trying to rescue how we approach all these sacred texts, the Quran, the Bible, you know. And it's this wonderful book about how we should not take these texts so literally, and we should treat them as the spiritual documents that they are, the testament to the human spirit. And in a way, what she's urging us to do is sing them, maybe not literally, but read them as if we were singing them. It's a beautiful book. She's one of my favorite authors that I've ever read, and I can't recommend that one highly enough. And then entirely differently, we hosted a woman named Victoria Riskin in September, who has some connections to the theater and dance department at the Phillips Exeter Academy. They asked us to host her for her new memoir, which came out earlier this year. And the memoir is called Faye Ray and Robert Riskin, A Hollywood Memoir. And these were her parents.
Oh, wow.
So Faye Ray is the actress who was given to a man in Wyoming to go to Hollywood and make her way in the fledgling movie industry. This man kept his promise to her mother. He took this teenage girl to Hollywood and actually helped her to make her way. She starred in many famous silent films. And then, of course, most famously, she was the actress in the original King Kong that we all remember. And her husband, Robert Riskin, was also, he was a Jewish man from Brooklyn who made his way west and worked as a writer. And he was a writing partner for Frank Capra. So these two individuals were there at the creation of the film industry and Hollywood. And she's written this very loving and very well-written memoir about her parents and the life they lived before her and after her. It was, once in a while, we'll have a reading that I can only describe as incandescent. It's happened like a handful of times in the 28 years I've run the store. This was an incandescent reading. This is a beautiful book, a loving book about her parents that is just fascinating as well. So those two.
Wow. Well, and again, no worries if you do not have a chance to jot down these titles, because we'll put all the titles mentioned during our conversation on our website a little bit later today, nhpr.org/exchange. Our listeners love local authors. We've got a couple emails shouting out to local authors. Jane in Kensington asks, have you talked about Bill Bryson's The Human Body, A Guide for Occupants, A New Hampshire Connection, always fantastic. Yes, Jane, we did. So that's absolutely there. Thank you.
Check that box.
And here's another one. Beth in Meredith says, one of my favorite books from 2019 is a local story based in Durham, story of three women who led an environmental fight against the richest man in the world, Aristotle Onassis, who wanted to build an oil refinery on Durham Point in 1973. The story is a great David versus Goliath, written by a UNH professor, David Moore. The title is Small Town, Big Oil, and we did a show on that book, I think it was 2 years ago as well. So, yeah,
that's
go ahead.
Great. Both of those books have been mentioned, but they bear mentioning again. They're both wonderful books.
Yeah, well, they're going to be new to somebody.
And here's another local author again. Michael writes, he says, Michael recently had Tommy DePaola in for an event, and it was the biggest Tommy event ever. Ask him if there's a new Tommy book out. I happened to be at Gibson's for coffee that day.
Sorry to say, not
for the Tommy event. And my friend and I walked in and we went,
what's going
Whoa.
On? Yeah. Yeah, so, it was a huge event. Tommy doesn't have a new book this year. What they're doing is they're actually refreshing older titles and bringing them back into print. Like there's a book called Helga's Dowry that's came out like decades ago and has just been recolored and refreshed and reissued.
Nice.
And you know, and again, they look just like new books, and it's wonderful to have them back on the shelves.
Well, and I remember the Stregonona books when my kids were little, so that's good to hear. Thank you for those emails. I did want to ask both of you about the primary, less than 100 days away, hard to believe, and bookstores this time around have really emerged as sort of a modern-day town hall setting for these candidates to meet voters. Michael, you've done a lot of this. Does this sell books?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think it certainly builds loyalty, I think, which could translate into book sales later. But Dan and I would both agree that part of our mission is to build community. And the people that are running for office, you know, they come to these public spaces. We don't charge them. And, you know, it's a free public space where they're surrounded by books. So they look
Makes
smart.
Makes them look good.
It does.
So I've actually have another life besides my book selling life. I was elected as the vice chair of the Rockingham County Democratic Party in April. And part of taking on that role within the party is that I have taken a strict vow of neutrality in the Democratic primary. I endorse the primary process heartily, and I endorse no candidate. So what we've done is we've thrown the bookstore open to any candidate to stop by, do a meet and greet, and several have done that. Senator Gillibrand was there, Senator Booker. So we've hosted a lot of folks.
Does it sell books?
It's not about that. It's not about selling books. The mission of Water Street Bookstore, I'm going to give you the mission now, is to build a diverse and vibrant community around the written word. And we think that we are on mission when we are hosting these presidential candidates or any political candidate. We hosted Senator Lou D'Alessandro a couple weeks ago. So we do political events in the store, not so much because we want our our patrons to vote for a particular politician, but we think that that's part of building community around the written word.
And you're giving people access in an easy way at a place where they're probably going to go anyway because you're right downtown.
The candidates and their staff love to hold events in bookstores because it is a relaxed environment. It's less supercharged. And it's just there's less pressure on everyone in a bookstore.
Yeah,
it's a great venue for these kinds of meet and greets, especially.
Yeah, we've opened up our bookstore for all candidates too, and you know, I think it's great.
And we've hosted Republican candidates as well, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's just not a lot of activity on the Republican side this year.
We've invited them in. They haven't come.
So I know this is a really busy season for both of you, especially since it's compressed, as we said earlier. So you've got holiday shopping. I know you've got Midnight Merriment, Michael,
I think
is tomorrow night. Yep. And there's all sorts of downtown events and so forth. And then after Christmas, you've got people coming in with their gift certificates saying, what should I do with this? So January 1st, Dan, what do you crack open?
Wow.
A bottle of champagne.
Yeah, my son just moved home recently after 6 years in Baltimore, and he has this great library of Roman and Greek history that I built for him over years. And I've never read a lot of these books, so I'm like ripping through all of his Greek and Roman history books and that I gave him. So I'm really enjoying that, and I'm going to continue doing that.
Wow.
In addition to my bookstore reading.
Oh, that sounds great, you know, especially if there's an ice storm or something, you can just curl up with
just
that.
Read a great book by Tom Holland that came out a number of years ago called The Dynasty, and it's good stuff.
Okay, so January 1st.
I hear the music is being
played
off the stage.
What do you read, Michael?
I'm going to reread a book called American Dirt by Janine Cummings because that's going to be the most important book of 2020. We have the author coming to Gibson's in March, and we can't wait to sell people this book because it's an important topic, and it's such a propulsive narrative. It reads like Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. Honestly, it's like nothing else I've ever read.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's quite a recommendation.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Okay. Well, both of you, thank you very much for coming in. Good luck getting through these next couple of weeks here. Dan Chartrand, it's always good to see you.
It's been great to be here, Laura.
Dan Chartrand is owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter. And Michael, thank you very much. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you, Laura.
Michael Herman, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord. Once again, all the titles that came up in our conversation today will be on our website a little bit later, nhpr.org/exchange. This is The Exchange on New Hampshire Public Radio.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. Hey, if you like what you heard, spread the word. Please give us a review on iTunes to help other listeners find us. And thanks.